You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on now. Find great deals on the Nissan Rogue, Qashqai, Kicks, and Sentra online at ScarboroughNissan.com or in person on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
I stand by that. I thought about it more last night. Shawshank Redemption
is a top 10 movie of all time.
It's James Reimer in Detroit in 15.
It's just okay?
It's okay. Just okay.
Ooh.
It's okay.
Shawshank?
Just okay. Yep. That might be my hottest take of all time, but I'm going down with that ship.
It could be one of the greatest movies of all time.
The greatest movie of all time.
It's not the greatest movie of all
time. It was gone like a fart in the wind.
Yeah, like that. You got to go back and watch it again. I think that you would have more of appreciation.
I've seen it 45 times. You can't avoid Shawshank Redemption.
Andy Dufresne?
I know
like
who Andy is.
Morgan Freeman. Like this.
I got it.
It's Andy Dufresne, dude. Come on, man.
There are so many better movies.
For 19 years,
he's
this
building
guy
that
just
boat down
away.
In Mexico right now.
Like,
listen, he's a resilient dude.
I thought it was such a fantastic movie. Like he
top
had
five
it
for
like,
me all time.
Yeah, it is. And I did like a list. I couldn't even. I have a list of 25 movies. I couldn't nail it down to a top 10.
It's almost impossible to name your favorite movie, your favorite song. How can you have a favorite song?
Yeah,
you can't have a favorite song.
Like, I know Shawshank. I know Good Will Hunting would be in there. I know Seven would be in there.
Yeah.
But like it starts to get thin. Like because it's all personal preference. Like. I love Jerry Maguire.
I would toss Slapshot in there.
No, come on.
Like as a movie, I would tune in.
But that's the thing. The problem is you'll get people saying, "Well, that movie never won anything. There's no cinematic, talent in there."
Right.
Like, I mean, Kingpin was one of my top 10.
Kingpin's a great movie.
The Big Lebowski, the dude.
Outstanding flick. John Goodman should be in the Hall of Fame for his role as Walter in The Big Lebowski.
But people are going to...
But it's like that
Donnie,
character.
You're out of your element.
Like, I think his character is what makes it so great.
John Goodman's?
Yeah, like The Big Lebowski, I think, the script is kind of cool. And Philip Seymour Hoffman's got a sneaky role in that. But John Goodman is so good in that movie.
Do you remember the guy whose name is Jesus, but it's Jesus
or
whatever?
Don't mess with the Jesus.
Yeah, and he like pulls the gun. Like, it's just... Everything about that movie is...
Well, that's Knish in Rounders.
Knish,
I don't know what his real name is, but he's a guy that's in a million different movies.
Give the man his money.
That's the KGB.
That's KGB.
Rounders Knish is a great movie.
But
great movie.
See, like, I was
Who's
telling
the Knish?
You guys...
Knish is the guy who just kind of plugs along, and remember he goes to him and wants, like, 10 grand, there, and he says,
Knish,
I can't give it to
Knish
you.
Knish was in a movie with Kramer called Unstrung Heroes. And it is like a sneaky good movie.
Knish and Kramer?
Yeah, Unstrung or Unsung, Unstrung, I believe. It's a sneaky good movie.
All right.
With Cosmo Kramer. What's his real name? Michael Richards.
Michael Richards,
But, I mean, Gladiator.
Gladiator, I was thinking of Gladiator. Gladiator's a top 10 movie.
Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
As much as like.
Spectacular flick.
The Gump, Forrest Gump.
You know what I was thinking we should do, and we might do it in the future? We should get a movie critic on the show to critique.
Our
list.
Yeah.
And our critique.
And I see everything, but I'm not a movie critic.
We already got a guy.
Who?
Your boy.
Matt?
Adnan Virk.
Oh, does Adnan like movies?
Adnan is
a big movie guy.
He works for the Oscars. He goes to the Oscars.
I don't think he's doing that anymore. That was an ESPN thing.
Okay, he's not doing that anymore.
But yeah,
still,
he is. I mean, he's big into it. He's got a podcast. Yeah. Okay, maybe that's our guy. We get Adnan on.
I see tons of movies. But I don't have the background, the schooling to look for, that was great cinema. There's that movie, Philip Seymour Hoffman won an award for it. I can't remember. Capote? Is that what it was called?
Capote.
I hated that movie. And everyone loved that movie like it was the greatest thing.
Braveheart.
Hated
Braveheart is a spectacular movie.
But
I went to Halloween as Braveheart. Half of the face blue. Big wig.
It's a great
Gladiator.
Costume.
Did I say Gladiator?
Gladiator's in there, yeah. John Turturro is the guy's name.
John Turturro, yeah.
He's
fantastic.
Knish.
But I even went like Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood. Like the story of that movie, it got released and then it did so poorly they re-released it and then it won all these awards. Like Gran Torino.
More of a modern flick. Good good flick. Not a top 10, though.
No, but I had
some yelling
great...
at the people on his front yard.
Yeah, he's the old guy who's bitter. He hates his family.
Yeah.
They hate him. And then
But that's the thing.
Like an Asian family moves beside them.
Some movies don't pass the test of time. You know what I mean? Because, for example, I saw Ace Ventura has been under some scrutiny lately. For the final scene where he turns around and finds out.
Finkel and Einhorn?
Yeah.
Because of where we're at in society today?
Yes.
That's unfair to movies.
Yeah.
That happens with comics a lot. Comics, like Eddie Murphy's doing a tour now. He's going on tour.
Right.
But a lot of people are going back into his you know, he was ruthless.
Why'd you say that back in 85?
Yeah.
But that's
different standards, man. The world was in a different place.
But people are looking at some of those movies as not the test of time, not holding up very well.
Well, I don't think that's
fair to the people doing it.
You're right.
Anyway. We got dregs on the line,
exactly.
So enough of the old movie countdown. But we didn't really accomplish anything.
No.
We just threw out a bunch of different movies that we all kind of
liked. We'll get that down on next week.
Yeah, let's do that.
That'd be good.
We will. Here's Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's up, Dregs?
Hey, guys. Do I get a say in any of this?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's your favorite movie, Darren?
Well, I'm going to guess, O-Dog, you already took Porky's.
I love that movie.
Porky's is a spectacular flash.
I mean, it's a classic. I'm not making fun of it. More recently, I would say, and I'm manly enough to admit this, I cried like a baby. I was watching, it's like first round of the playoffs, Winnipeg, St. Louis in Winnipeg. It was a boring off night, and I watched Only the Brave. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, refresh my memory. What is that?
Yeah,
again?
The firefighters, the hot shots in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow.
Wasn't Josh,
I mean, it's true.
Josh Brolin was in that?
Was he not?
Yeah. And then the other one that comes to mind a bit older, of course, is Shawshank Redemption. So,
yeah.
It's one of the best.
One of the best, overrated movie. You're going to have an argument with Hayes.
I'm getting shattered online. People are crushing me because I don't love it. I think it's an okay movie. It's James Reimer in Detroit. It's okay, just okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm Randy Carlisle. So we've been talking about, obviously, what Marner's situation is all about here in Toronto. But the captaincy, it was unveiled today. They're going to anoint a captain. I have to believe they know who they're going to give it to.
Yeah.
They came out today and pretended like they want to take their time. What are you waiting for? You've had all summer. You've had years to figure this out. I think they know who they want to announce as the new captain. But do you get the impression like the Marner negotiation is maybe affecting the timeline on announcing a captain?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, who's to say that he couldn't be in that discussion? But clearly, if you announce that it's Austin Matthews or it's Morgan Riley or it's somebody else, John Tavares, then maybe that puts yet another slant on a negotiation that hasn't been toxic. I mean, it's been toxic publicly. And, you know, we in the media have chewed on it at length, mostly because we don't have a whole lot else going on. You know, and that'll change here in the days ahead as they get fully into camp and into the preseason and into the regular season. But I think that's fair. I think that has to be part of the consideration by the Maple Leafs brass. But I don't know what you guys think. You know, I'm a bit old school. Anytime I'm around Morgan Riley, I like everything about this guy. I love him as a hockey player. He oozes character and all of that. And that's not belittling Austin Matthews in any way, shape, or form. But I don't know anymore if we can agree or disagree, but agree that Austin Matthews is the best player on the team. Does the best player on the team have to be the captain?
No. Always the case.
Yeah.
But
sometimes helps when it is, because a lot of times the best player can rah-rah-rah, and you look at the guy and say, you know what, he's going to be good in the third period.
Well, and you say that's the guy who's going to deliver you. Like, usually top players always rise.
Yeah, like, I think Florida Jamie in the last couple of years, they named a captain. Who was the guy's name?
It was Derek McKenzie, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was a fourth-line left winger, and it was...
Yeah.
But eventually they got that right.
They did, but it didn't fit.
Yeah.
I honestly, though, I mean, again, for me, it feels like it's between Riley and Matthews. And John Tavares was a captain for a long time with the New York Islanders. I don't know how the Maple Leafs get this wrong. I'm sure somebody publicly is going to be offended by the decision that is made when they name a captain. I'm not going to be in that chorus because they've got three or four, I would say, highly qualified candidates.
Yeah, they do.
I agree.
They do, and they've known them for a long time as well. I mean, these guys, Tavares has been here for a year, Matthews, Riley have been here for a long time.
Yeah.
So at some point, that's going to be announced, and that'll be a positive scene for the team. It'll be a distraction for the team. Obviously, you had a bunch of reports yesterday on Marner and how his camp wants a shorter-term deal, and the Leafs are persistent about a 7 or 8 year deal. And you just said it. It's not toxic between them. It comes off that way publicly for sure. I mean, the fan base is clearly not happy, the fact that he wasn't there today.
Right.
But are you working under the assumption, and I know that can be dangerous, that this will get done, though, before October 2nd?
Well, I'm not, Brian. I'm optimistic it'll get done by October 2nd because, as Kyle Dubas acknowledged today, you know, when you go beyond day one of the regular season, then, you know, the salary cap crunch starts to apply. I mean, the Maple Leafs absorbed that in William Nylander last year. You know, the Winnipeg Jets are concerned about that because they've got two guys in line and Connor that are hanging out there. But that, to me, is more of the soft deadline, is the start of the regular season. And, you know, at the end of the day, hockey players want to play hockey. We all appreciate the business side of things. I think that it's going to be real difficult for Mitch Marner to be watching from the sidelines or from his condo in Toronto rather than being on the ice. We know the preseason is one thing. Obviously, he can get through training camp without having to worry about it. But that's where it really starts to emotionally impact players. But, look, it's still a negotiation. And, you know, people need to understand that it's still amicable. Like, it's not like Ferris and the Marner camp and Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs management core are throwing bombs at each other. They're not. I mean, Kyle is doing his due diligence in trying to get a star player signed to a long-term extension. You know, that's his mandate. That's what he wants, and that's what he intends to do. The player, at least right now, isn't in a position where he wants to accept a 7 or 8 year contract extension. And the 8 year term that we keep talking about that, you know, seems to be appealing to Marner right now doesn't make sense for the Maple Leafs because of that third year. And we've been down that road a lot over the last several days. So I'm looking at the glass half full. I really am. That's not inside information. I think Mitch Marner's a character kid, and I know the Toronto Maple Leafs recognize how important he is to their team, and I still feel some level of optimism that they will get something done.
With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider.
Dregs, in saying that, with those numbers that you tossed around and Bobby confirmed yesterday, how does three people, whether it be Marner, his dad, his agent, sit in a room and say, actually, that's not going to work for me? That takes care of your mom and dad, your kids, your grandkids, your great grandkids. Like, who the hell says no to that? Like, that is where people are really kind of disgusted and pissed off.
Yeah, I get it, I really, truly do. And again, I'm not establishing blame here. I don't have a horse in this race. But I can tell you what other general managers around the NHL say, and I can only assume that the Marner camp feels this way as well. Say what you want about the caliber of player that Austin Matthews is, and I mean, he's top notch. I mean, this guy is a horse as a star number one center in the National Hockey League. Did the Toronto Maple Leafs really have to give him that 5 year term when they gave it up? I don't think they did. I really don't think they did. And, you know, if you want to revisit history, you go back, you know, if Marner was that important, why didn't they try and extend him at 8 years times nine last year? You would have taken that, I'm sure, a year ago.
Yeah, but Drake, there's a lot of people in this building that have different contracts, but we don't look at it and say, I can't make it work because this guy has that or this guy has this.
Yeah, I know that.
The fact they give Austin Matthews, that has nothing to do with Mitch Marner.
Well, it does. I mean, are you telling me that you as a hockey player, your agent, your family didn't step in and say, well, look, I scored 41 times here. This guy scored 30, and he makes $1.5 million more than I did. Why is that right?
Darren,
I mean, that's just a business.
If my dad called me and said there's $116 million Canadian on the table, and he said, if you say no to this, I'm disowning you, that's what he would say.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. 116 Canadian.
How many pesos?
Billion pesos.
Yeah. How many dong?
A trillion dong.
There you go.
Okay, but hold on. That's also, 15 years ago, maybe more, and it was a different era. And truthfully, how many 21, 22-year-old kids coming out of their first contract, going into their second contract, would have had the stones back then to apply the leverage that these kids are trying to apply.
And, wow.
You know, we're fixated on Meyer because, look, I mean, we're in the Toronto market. We should be. I mean, that's what we talk about. But you don't think they're talking about the same thing with Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary or, you know, Rantanen to some degree? And Colorado's got how much in cap space, yeah, and they still haven't found a way to get this kid signed. I understand. Look, at, you know, if my kid had half the talent that Marner and these RFAs had and he was being offered that type of money, are you kidding me? I mean, I would drag him kicking and screaming to sign that contract. But that's not how it goes anymore. Unfortunately, that's just not the reality, the business side for these kids.
Well, there are some of these kids. What if they go and do a workout and do some jump squats or get on the ice and blow an Achilles blow their knee out, and they turn down some dollars that are just inconceivable, and they'll be kicking themselves.
He's got he does have the shield, though. Marner's got the shield that Laine hasn't signed, that Tkachuk hasn't signed, Besser hasn't signed. Our buddy Matt Sakaris is saying he heard they offered 6 years at $7 million at the draft.
He's
Besser,
not the only guy.
And Besser turned it down.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, it feels like Marner has been the focal point because of the magnitude of this market.
Correct.
Because of the Matthews and Nylander stuff and the pressure on Dubas, so it's going to be a domino effect.
Yeah.
But none of these guys are taking discounts, man.
Like,
it is not going to happen.
But I'll tell you what, I agree with O in this sense, and Noodles, and Jeff and Brian, you played the game at a high level too. I mean, we never made money playing; those guys did. But I would be terrified of injury. And you know, even on a 3-year term, and I know from a dollars and cents perspective, I get it. You know, you want to take that 3-year deal. The qualifying offer turns into your fourth year, and then you really ultimately control the process. But a lot of crap can happen between now and then.
Yeah, well, if you don't make it to the fourth year.
Well, that's, you're right. Injury is one of the things dregs. And even, let's say you get injured, there's no guarantee. This is something that I learned today about the CBA. If your final year, the team can qualify you if they don't like what's going on at 15% discount.
Right.
So it's not, say the last year is 11.
Yeah.
But you get qualified at 9.35. Because say you got hurt in year one and you've been out for 2 years, you're not guaranteed that.
I'd be
11.
Like, oh, damn, I got to make $9 million.
But,
darn it.
No, but what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is my biggest thing is we know and we think Mitch Marner is going to be, let's say, 90 to 100 point player. But, you know, for the most part, like I think he's that good and going to play. And but if I'm not suggesting that it would go south, but if he has a massive injury or things just don't work out, like, you could potentially be leaving a lot of money on the table.
Absolutely.
Like, if you're at $11 million on 7-year deal or 8-year deal or 6 or whatever you've worked out, how much more are you going to go? Are you going to go
four?
In year, you know, exactly. Like, that's where I'm saying, like, are you going to surpass McDavid? Yeah. If McDavid's the bar, how many guys are going to leapfrog Connor McDavid at 12.5?
No. Let me ask you guys this, though. In the Toronto market, like, Marner is the last kid into the pool, right? I mean, of the RFAs in Toronto, he's the last guy standing.
Sure.
You know, if this is Matthews, if this is Willie Nylander again, as an example, he's getting torched way worse than Marner. And Marner is taking heat. To some degree, unfairly, frankly. I mean, there are two people or two groups in this negotiation. And we can, you know, debate all day long whether or not he should have turned down 7 times 11, 8 times 11, you know, all of that stuff. And I understand that debate. If this is Matthews, you know, is the media to some degree, is the fan base turning on Austin Matthews the way they seem to, from a social media perspective, be turning on Marner?
Darren, anybody that turns down 7 times 11 or 7 times 10 or 8 times 10 or 11, doesn't matter your last name. It's absurd to turn down.
Nylander,
that is the bottom line.
Nylander took a lot of heat. Now, he took a lot of heat.
But he missed games.
Hey,
he deserved
Tavares, John Tavares left, I don't know, like $13 million plus on the table and leaving the New York Islanders. I mean, you know, is he a bad guy? I mean, he took a discount because he wanted to play in Toronto. But but players do make decisions. So if you're allowed to take a discount, you know, you shouldn't be shredded because you're trying to maximize your leverage when you don't have a contract.
I think John Tavares is a unique situation where he was unrestricted and he was going to the highest bidder.
Yeah, but he didn't go to the highest bidder. The highest bidder was the New York Islanders. I mean, the last deal that he accepted from the Toronto Maple Leafs was a take-it-or-leave-it deal, and he took it. And he was advised by some not to take it because he left tons of money on the table. But you're right. I mean, you know, the unrestricted market versus the restricted market is different. You know, that's when you're UFA, you can make those lifestyle decisions in any fashion you want.
For me, it just comes down to 7x11 or 8x11. And yeah. I don't need people validating my comments, but I talked to a lot of people in the game to say that anybody to turn that down, they're flat out nuts. Flat out nuts.
And it's a big number. There's no doubt about
no
that.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, especially at that position, well, right? Like he's a playmaking winger. He's a great player.
And
like
he is. You can't lose sight of that. But my thing is, and I've said this before, I think we talked about it either on air earlier or off air, was if his whole goal is to get to 11-6, which is it's 600,000 more, let's say on an 8-year deal, that's $5 million. When you're making so much money.
I don't want a guy on my team that says I don't want 11, I want 11-6. I'm sorry.
But what I'm saying is
that's nuts.
He's not even going to notice that when you're making so much money, you're not going to notice that extra 600 grand. I know I know that sounds ridiculous to say, but with escrow and taxes and that, like really, what would be the real money you'd be leaving on the table technically?
It's not the money. It isn't the money. I mean, and it sounds ridiculous. You know, when you're talking about 77 or 88 million, look, I believe there's a 3-year deal there with an annual average salary at around 9.25, 9.5, right? That he'd be willing to take from Toronto. The issue, of course, and not to go down this path again, is that third year. You know, if somehow they can come to terms on that third year not being 11 or 12 million dollars, that might be the place where they find happiness and get a deal done. But that doesn't satisfy the fact that, you know, if you're talking about a $30 million deal over 3 years, you know, you're also talking about leaving $47 million or more on the
table. It's a gamble.
Over the length of a contract.
It's a big gamble. It's a big, big gamble. Well, we'll see. We're going to have actual players on the ice as of tomorrow, which will be a great distraction. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you, Dregs.
Okay, boys. Have a good night.
Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at mapletoyota.com. Yeah, Matt Sakaris again from TSN Radio in Vancouver reporting that Besser turned down 6 years at $7
million. Nuts. Nuts.
And now Jimmy Benning.
You get to ride shotgun with Elias Pettersson?
Yeah. $7 million. That's like you leapfrog Nylander.
Right.
Nylander's technically at 6'9".
Who cares? Yeah. It just, that would work.
But I know, it works. Now, but that's my point. And it's technically you move up and,
But
you know.
Okay, so now, but you're looking at Clayton Keller's deal going, okay, so if that guy, and Keller, Keller got 65 points. I have to point that out as an 18-year-old.
But 2 years ago, Besser had a great year too.
Right.
Like
Besser's still a 50-plus point guy. I think he was 53 last year. I have to look it up quickly. I'm just off the top of my head. Like, there's a step ladder there, and I get it. But at some point, is one of these guys going to go to hell with this? Just give me the money. Now, maybe that was Zach Werenski the other day. 3 years, 5 a year, but 7 the final year. Because he didn't want to go through all this nonsense. Maybe Mitch Marner calls today and goes, you know what? Guaranteed the kid wants to play.
Well, but that has not been brought up enough. Mitch Marner makes the decision.
Right.
Talk about Darren Ferris, his agent, and his dad and his people. But ultimately,
he's an adult.
Mitch, this is a Lonzo Ball scenario. We goofed on Lonzo forever.
Right.
LeVar Ball's calling the shots. Well, it's Lonzo Ball's career. It's Marner's career. So that goes both ways. Don't let him off the hook because Mitch is in there saying, I'm not signing that today.
Right.
Right? But
Well,
also, it's on him ultimately to make the decision.
But he wants to play hockey, too.
I guarantee you, if Mitch Marner sat in a room by himself and sat down with Brendan Shanahan by himself or Kyle by himself, he's signed. He's a Maple Leaf right now.
Well, he is a Maple Leaf.
Getting bad advice from his agent and his father. Very simple. 77 or I'm not doing it again.
You're going to yell at
him. No. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, again, we'll see if he ends up signing it in the next 2 weeks. He's not on on the bird in Newfoundland, so he's not going to be out there.
They'll sign.
Once they get going.
Jamie, you've been saying that for 3 months.
I know I have, but they haven't lost games yet. Like
none of these guys. Like, I believe one of them is going to miss games. One of them, whether it's Rantanen and Kachuk
Calgary,
or whatever.
You're right. I don't know where. I don't know what the pressure points for these guys are. But, you know, everyone has their own deal. This is a business. Mitch Marner doesn't have a contract. He's still working on it. But, you know, ultimately, these facts, they're upsetting to a lot of people because that's, even to Mitch Marner, that's a boatload of money. It's a boatload of money. And I'm sure that he's had some sleepless nights sitting there going, you know, I can't imagine he's just dug in and said, it's that and don't even call me.
Like, no,
I think there's a lot of different scenarios. And to me, Kyle Dubas and Brendan and MLSE and Mitch Marner and Darren Ferris and Paul Marner, I'm sure they've all sat around tried to find some sort of common ground here. You hope that cooler heads prevail.
Well, there's a lot of turnover with this team, and Babcock made that very clear that he's got to get – they got to hit the ground running here because you're looking at upwards of 11, 12 new bodies in the lineup and different styles of players, right? Like, they don't have guys that Babcock would lean on a lot in the past. He would lean on Ron Hainsey a ton. Zaitsev a ton. When in doubt, we need a safe shift. Connor Brown, Patrick Marleau, you're going out.
The GOAT. The GOAT's line. Get out
obviously,
there after a goal. You know, like
Kadri and Gardner are no longer here. I mean, those were guys who were staples on this team for years.
Connor Brown on the penalty kill. Like
they're out.
Yeah.
So Babcock has... He's not going to be worried about Mitch Marner. He'd like to see him here, but he's got a job to do. He's got to figure out who's playing with who and who is capable of playing like an NHL.
And let's not forget, one of his penalty killers, Zach Hyman's not starting the
season. Hyman's not starting the year. I don't think we see him until November. I don't think we see Dermott until November. So the elephant in the room is 16, but, man, they got a lot of turnover here. A lot of turnover. And... like every team that believes that they're a playoff team, but they're not going to be a 120-point lock, you got to hit the ground running. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour, the Thursday nighter tonight. Carolina taking on Tampa. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio and watch it on TSN. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Thursday nighter tonight, Carolina at home against Tampa.
Just doesn't scream like... I love to just kick back and chill after work, and you get dialed in on a game, but that one doesn't make me want to get home and tune it in.
Yeah.
I mean, you ultimately do it because it's on.
It's a divisional game, but for week two, you got to bring us some heat on the basically the first Thursday. I know the Packers and Bears started things off, but that's like a celebration kickoff. Now we're into the new season, week two.
By the way, I'm sure teams looked at that schedule and started hating it right off the bat. They hate that short week with that Thursday game.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Hate it.
Especially if you're on the road.
Plus, it was a really good week one. So you want it to double down. I agree. I looked at the matchup this morning. I'm like, watch it. But it's
Tampa's just one of those
teams.
It's
going to be on in the background. Like, I'm not going to be glued to it.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. Well, although your buddy, the Jays... on fire buddy. Last night.
Laying a beating down on Boston. I mean, the Red Sox weren't going to get into the wild card anyway, but lose two in a row to Toronto, you're
That's
done.
What I'm saying. They've won two in a row. They may not lose 100 games.
I don't think they're going to now. You win a couple in a row, all of a sudden everything starts to turn, you know?
I think the Red Sox have been doing some damage in Toronto.
Yeah.
As soon as they got punted, let's explore some other things in the city.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it's like. You miss the playoffs and stuff. The minute that you lose, like the team just goes.
That was my rule. I don't like going out the night before the game. I had no interest. But you eliminate me from the playoffs?
Yeah. I remember Daryl Sutter taking us in a room, and we'd been eliminated from the playoffs. And he said, just so you guys know, like, what's the common theme in this room? We're all looking around. I think there was like 7 or 8 of us. It's like, you're all over 30 years old. He goes, if this team does not try down the stretch while we're in the playoffs, he goes, you guys probably won't be here next year. Like, you basically, like, laid it out, said, if this team gives up because we didn't make the playoffs, there was only like 5-6 games left. But he said,
blaming you.
Just holding this group accountable.
But there's a way to massage that.
No, he doesn't massage.
No, I'm not saying him. I'm saying you. The effort is there, but it's kind of like, nah. Like, we got to work hard here, block a couple shots. We'll lose 3-2, and we're out of here, and he's going to be happy.
By the way, however direct the coach is, that's not true. Like, it's not like if they miss the playoffs.
Yeah, all of us
are
gone.
And they're garbage down the stretch that everyone's gone.
Is it before the cap, though? Could technically.
The bottom line is just not.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Someone doesn't walk down and say, remember what Daryl said? You 6 guys, you're out. No way. But it's enough to scare you to say, I better not be an idiot here. That's the only purpose.
It makes you think. Like, that night I remember going home and thinking, you know, this is a crossroads here. Because I think I had another year left on my deal, but I'm like, all right, you know, expendable. If they want to change things up right away, like, you, he gets you thinking.
Yeah, a year left, I might as well just save it.
If I play the next game and I've got somebody who's out the night before the game and they've got a 3-year deal and they're not going anywhere because they're 24 years old, I'm pissed at that kid. So it was actually a pretty good ploy. I think we played pretty hard down in that last 2 weeks or whatever.
Which, I mean, we goof around, but that should be expected. 82 times a year you're expected to be a pro and go out there and at least give an effort.
I get it, but a lot of times the effort will be there, but it's the preparation to the effort that takes a little bit backseat.
Maybe the body language.
A little bit of, you do, if you were going to go to bed a little earlier, naps a little shorter, the preparation mentally is a little bit different. Naturally sag.
In the game, that's where it would be most noticeable.
Like reaching for that puck, you're like, nah, I don't need to go.
Some guy gives you a punch in the face, and you're like, if we were in it, I'd drop the gloves, but I'm going out tonight, I'm not fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yeah, no, for sure.
Where the coach would be like, that 20 games ago, you fight that guy immediately. Why didn't you fight him tonight? It's like, it's 3 games left in the season.
And I don't want a broken nose.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going out tonight.
I'm going to Vegas next week.
Right.
I don't want a broken nose.
Everything's been booked, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm not fighting that guy.
That's why some of those last games of the season are like no hitters. They're two hours long. The refs are yelling at players to keep the puck moving.
It's like Slapshot. It's like a joke.
It's a gong show.
Yeah, and every league would have it.
Every league.
Bad games, not just
nothing.
Oh, can you imagine the effort in baseball, basketball? Like, in hockey, you can glide. Basketball, technically, you've got to be running up and down the court, but there's your intensity.
There are some doozies in preseason, but the games going down the stretch that don't mean anything,
basketball?
I think in professional hockey.
In every sport.
Every sport, but like, you're right, though. Hockey, you can see a little bit. Like, basketball, when guys don't care, we've seen that the score just, all of a sudden, it's 30.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the score difference is 30. The game's close, and it's like
try catching Carolina Hurricanes on a Tuesday at Atlanta Thrashers, both teams not in the playoffs, on a Tuesday night. 87 people in the building, and it's just disgusting. Like,
those are the worst.
Oh!
Yeah.
And we've all played it.
Boys just had a night in Buckhead, and it's like, check, please.
That was the worst rink. They built that brand new rink on top of the old rink, and it was all luxury boxes on the one side. There were no fans.
It was the worst designed rink of all time.
It was.
That was in Atlanta?
In Atlanta, and you had to go through this weird tunnel to get into the, like, I can't imagine.
Hawks still play there. As far as I know, I don't think they built a new.
No, they do. They play there.
Yeah.
I can't complain about the rink because I scored only 3 hat tricks in my career.
Yeah.
2 were in that building.
Well, yeah. But the building stunk from a fan's perspective, I guarantee you, because you looked across and it was all luxury boxes. So there was real no atmosphere, nothing going on. And it felt like it was a brand new building that felt like it was 20 years old.
Right.
Because they just
cut corners. Dark,
bad lighting. Zamboni guy didn't know what the hell he was doing. Like, there were just so many weird things.
I still can't believe they went back to Atlanta. Well,
the Knights in the IHL used to do very well, the Atlanta Knights. But I don't know if they built the rink or the new one on top of the Omni Center, wherever it was. It was just a weird setup. And the NHL, well, Ray would tell you. I mean,
he played there. That's right.
Ray was sentenced.
That's always, that's got to be weird. I mean, you played for a team that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You played on a team, they don't exist.
Yeah. I played for the New York Islanders Fishermen the one
year.
Yeah,
but they're still a legitimate organization.
They are, and they'll be a good team again, but...
Yeah. I guess Hartford would technically count, but...
But that's a shift. That's a move, right?
Yeah. But Atlanta shifted to Winnipeg, because remember, they've been goofy about those records.
Right.
Like, the Atlanta records don't count... with, like, the Howard-Chuck records.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, Kovalchuk's goals, it doesn't count. He can't knock off.
It's...
Yeah, whoever it was back, like, Eddie Olchuk's numbers or...
Right, but isn't Arizona / Phoenix tied to...
Yeah, they are.
That's why.
And I think their records carried over to Arizona, which is so stupid.
So there's a lot of moving parts. That's why.
Yeah.
But I know, like, when I think about this, like, the second-line center this year in... Winnipeg will probably be Brian Little. Brian Little scored 30 goals. The last, I think he's only done it once in his career in Atlanta when he started there.
Right.
He's a really good player, but you could say he's a 30 goal scorer, but not.
Like young guy, the young guys on that team are going to start thinking of him as an old bastard.
Well, he
was,
I think,
a part
he's 30.
Of Thrashers.
Yeah.
Like he's going to say, I was in Atlanta.
Huh? Big Buff. How many guys were down there?
I think that's it. Little and Buff.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell you can find another guy.
Blake Wheeler wasn't in Atlanta.
No, Blake Wheeler came out of college, and I thought he was supposed
to
try to
sign
with Boston. Yeah,
he was. Shirelli traded him.
Blake Wheeler might have played in Atlanta somehow.
He might have.
Yeah, he may have. You're right.
He might have been flipped to Atlanta. He might have gone with them, too. So three guys.
And Wheeler had some comments today about being tough on the young guys. Like, that was... This is, hey.
Man, oh, man. How tough can you really be? Like, when you consider the difference in what our society expects or labels as being tough.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, we've evolved, society's evolved. I think we're in a better spot today than we were 20 or 30 years ago.
Agreed.
But could you imagine the vets back in the 70s and 80s, how they treated rookies and young players?
There was conversations, I think, that Jamie and myself, probably you in junior hockey, that I think kids would go home and they would be off the team and quit.
Yeah.
Well, the parents would pull them off the team.
Junior was maybe, I mean, I don't have any NHL experience, but in junior, like the 19, 20-year-old who was there for 4 years treated you like garbage when you first got there. Like garbage. Like,
yes,
you're
like,
a loser.
Grab my
go
hockey
to this.
Equipment, pack my bag.
Yeah.
You're a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
You're
I'm picking you up when I tell you I'm picking you up. Like, it's an incredible
gas money's
system.
$50. Give me $100.
Yep.
Try having Link Gates on your bus, and he's owly. He's trying to sleep at the back, and we're playing a board game at the front. And he comes up and kicks the bus window out and throws your game out the window while we're going 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And threatens and wants to fight the bus driver. Like, I'm like, remember, like, that was, it wasn't the norm, but it was. Like, that guy was a lunatic, and he was my teammate, and I was afraid of him.
Yeah.
I was afraid, and he was on my team.
And physically afraid.
Yeah, like...
Not like he's picking on me, like he's going to beat me up
like he'll
at this
be,
point.
Like, if I piss him off, he'll punch me in the face.
Yeah.
Like, that guy was, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I give credit to Blake Wheeler for being open and honest. It was a great sit-down with Sarah Orlowski.
Right.
And listen, I think they're all sensitive to the fact that Laine and Connor are not signed, and they know they need them.
Right.
So they want them there. They need them there. I'm not saying Wheeler didn't maybe cross a line, whatever that line might be at some point.
Well,
but
well, it must be troubling in that locker room, too. A guy like Blake Wheeler says, I'm captaining the ship right now of a team that's kind of favored to win the Stanley Cup. And then Myers leaves, and Trouba's gone, and you got two stars up front that aren't signed. He's thinking, is our window already closing? And you can't really say that because Washington was pegged to win the Stanley Cup for 10 years, and they didn't do it. But they finally did.
But that's...
San Jose forever. They got to a final, got to a conference final.
That's why it's important for the Leafs to have all of their players playing.
Yeah. You just keep chipping away and see where it lands you. You keep winning and try to get in the playoffs. And
now, not suggesting that Winnipeg is dead in the water, but, you know, Trouba, Myers out, Sherratt, who I think is a really solid player, out. You know, they've got some players. Like Pionk, I think, is a really good player, a good defenseman. But, you know, in-house, you're going to allow some players to grow. I think drawing a right-handed shot, drawing a blank on his name. But I think he's a young kid that's going to be an impact in Winnipeg. But overall, like, they've got – this is their window now.
Yeah, they're in it right now. They're
no
in
doubt.
It. Yeah, and they need Line A and they need Connor, though, to get through that window, regardless of what they get paid.
Jack
Roslovic, there you go.
Yeah.
We get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Playing the props tonight, and I'm feeling them. Under the number, Cam Newton, 256.5 total yards passing. That shoulder is still a concern. I don't think he's going to throw a lot tonight, which means over the number, Christian McCaffrey, 81.5 total yards rushing. Over the number, Chris Goodwin, wide out with Tampa, 62.5 total receiving yards. Under the number, longest field goal. Throw down 20, you can score $157. That's a lot of pesos, a lot of yen.
And a lot of dong.
Vietnamese
dong.
Yes.
That's the currency.
Mm-hmm.
You can find
how many dongs
on Twitter.
Did you put on that?
About a half a billion.
That's a lot.
About a half a billion.
Really?
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot. Yeah.
No,
it's a lot
of the currency stuff yesterday really threw me off.
And we were
it's not necessary for us to do that.
No.
We were still wrong, too.
Yeah, we were way off. People were correcting us last night. Like, you got it
like
wrong.
Like they thought we cared?
Well, I know. But
obviously, we don't care, but, you know, people want to make sure that, I guess, everything's on the up and up on this show. I don't know what to tell you. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So we won't see you again until Saturday evening when you're a very new and improved individual.
Yeah.
You will be a newlywed. On Monday.
Newlywed.
On Monday. So you will
and
be
I'm
in
really
here
excited
Monday.
About it. Some loser went up to my wife and says, he never talks about getting married on the radio. I'm really excited about it. There you go, loser guy that said that to my wife.
Is he invited to the wedding?
No. He's some pigeon. Yeah. This grosses me out.
Well, people are always
we've funny. Got other things to talk about here, man.
Exactly.
It's a sports show, you know.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what. I got to take a personal day tomorrow, and that's my last one of the year.
Until January?
Wow. That's a statement.
The year.
That is a big statement, and I like it. I want to believe it.
I'm not believing it.
We'll see it when it happens.
Why don't you believe it?
I have a history here. I've got a database that...
Although, I will tell you this, Grappler, and put it in your calendar and let Jeff and Steph know. I told you last year, any of those family vacation days or legit holidays, I'm not coming in here.
So that's a personal day.
No,
that's
it isn't.
Yeah,
that's
it
a holiday for every. We walk in here. There's four people in here. Our boss is in Hawaii, and Steph is at home, and Al's brother's here, and that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Al's brother.
Yeah.
Love
All right,
we'll see you Saturday night
at 8 p.m.
At 8 p.m.
we'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout Sales event is on now. Finance a 2019 Rogue Special Edition at 0% APR for 84 months. Or get up to $5,000 in standard rate finance cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales event is on now. Find great deals on the Nissan Rogue, Qashqai, Kicks, and Sentra online at ScarboroughNissan.com or in person on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.